guessed it by the story we will tell this morning is the one Jesus told about a mustard seed. From Mark's Gospel,
the fourth chapter, verses 30 through 32, I encourage you to read along on page 38 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Listen now for what the Spirit is saying to the church. Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join in my customary prayer for illumination.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Amen. Several years ago, our family was driving out west, and we were heading toward Gatlinburg, Tennessee. As we drove along the freeway, I started noticing this greenery that seemed to just be draping over everything. The trees were coated in it. And as we drove further and further along, it just was everywhere. I asked my father-in-law, being from the west, being from, full disclosure, from Washington State, I had never seen this before. So I said, he said, "That's kudzu." Y'all raise your hand if you know what kudzu is. All right, so I don't need to go too far. But these are things you may not know about kudzu. It was first introduced in the United States at the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia in 1876, and it has been swallowing the country from an epicenter in the southeast, and get this, at a rate of about 50,000 baseball fields per year. Occupying currently an estimated 3 million hectares. Kudzu, get this, can grow up to 60 feet per season, or about 1 foot per day. Wow. It is the ultimate invasive plant life species. It also, as you probably can imagine, is bad for ecosystems as it chokes out other plants that have essential roles in the ecosphere. The great kudzu invasion all started out with, well, a mistake. The Soil Erosion Service and Civilian Conservation Corps intentionally planted it to control soil erosion in the state of Pennsylvania. It was then used in the southeast to provide shade to homes and as ornamental species, but I have actually seen, and you probably have too, abandoned houses or barns on the roadside that are literally cocooned in this stuff. Kudzu may be a good metaphor for something that begins with good intentions, but as it grows and it spreads, it invades and chokes out other life. I think that's a good metaphor for the Roman Empire during Jesus' day. It started off small. It was literally a group of farmers with a high aspiration of benefiting humankind. It gradually, though, killed off many people in armed invasions to sustain its own growth. The spread of the Roman Empire was a seemingly unstoppable force that choked out other cultures' distinctiveness and overshadowed the lives of all of people, most people living in that time. At the height of the Roman power in the mid-second century AD, conservative opinion is that the empire was comprised of some 65 million people. Assuming the world population is still roughly about 300 million people, it's not most, but it would mean that the Roman population was approximately 20%, 21% of the world's total. Jesus is preaching and teaching in that context. So today he uses an agrarian metaphor for a very different empire, the kingdom of God. Now, this, I think, is where we see Jesus' full humanity, as he tells and claims that this mustard seed is, quote, the smallest of all seeds. Well, in actuality, he's not totally accurate. Orchid and cypress seeds are smaller. Also, mustard seeds do not grow into giant trees. There is one species, the black mustard, which sprouts into a plant that can grow, given perfect agricultural conditions, 8 to 10 feet. Therefore, most scholars frequently presume that this is what Jesus is talking about. Well, there's many takes on this text. One is that Jesus is talking about something maybe supernatural that defies nature, for after all, it is God's kingdom. This would then, in some ways, violate the Jewish purity code that introduces something that is unnatural, something that is even noxious, an invasive reality. So the reasoning goes that Jesus is likening God's kingdom to a spreading, unstoppable force that will subvert the kingdoms of the world, a noxious plant to overshadow and choke out the other world's kingdoms. You might see then why Jesus was seen as a radical by the Romans. Much of Christian history has been one of the church attempting to do precisely this, to choke out others for the sake of growing the church in numbers. Early missionary efforts started off with valiant aspirations of bringing hope and light of the good news of Jesus Christ, guided by the Great Commission to go, therefore, into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have told you. The branches of the mustard seed provide a place for the birds, metaphors for the peoples of all nations to find home and protection. But what seemed such a benevolent motivation soon, however, upon meeting resistance, introduced mutations of imperialism and turned good news into bad news. Surely I think this is not what Jesus is talking about. Had he desired the kingdom to be instituted by force, he would have, as he says later during his trial before Pilate, called on a squadron of angels to subdue him, to subdue the surroundings, to liberate him, and to free him from his destination to the cross. But that was not Jesus' way. Equating the mustard seed with the kingdom must mean something different. One scholar wrote, by keeping it a shrub, Mark is differentiating the kingdom Jesus proclaims from the past prophetic dreams of glory and hope to be like other nations. Prophets of Israel's history would often use giant trees as metaphors for God's kingdom. But there is something essential about mustard that speaks to the nature of this kingdom, as Sarah pointed out. Jewish scholar Amy Jill Levine, who we talked about last week, points out that the mustard had medicinal qualities and would not then have been viewed as noxious at all. And the word for shrub in the Mark text is better translated vegetable. The role of the mustard seed is to nourish and provide for life, not to deprive it for the sake of its own growth. Mustard is curative, available to anyone. It is part of the good world God provides for all. You know, just this week I had a conversation with someone. She was actually a reporter for the Henrico Citizen. And she asked me, she said, what do you believe is the role of the church in its society? Well, I told her I believed it was to bear the light of Christ, to show the world what it looks like when we live together in a way that brings peace and coexists in a way that shows forth the life of Christ and the image of God in all people. Its role, I said, is not to judge others and try to convince them to conform to a specific set of understanding, but to share the grace of Jesus Christ in an open and accepting way. Believe in living this way, we inspire then people to ask, what causes them to act this way? And for that, we respond, because we are loved by God and follow Jesus Christ. And we believe God loves you without condition. She said, that's a very different understanding that I've had of the church from the past, from my personal history, and from what I have understood. And I said, I know. But I pray that we can be a better witness to what Jesus intends. This mustard seed kingdom living goes out on a limb, much like I did with this reporter, to provide good news for others. It trusts that the awareness of God's kingdom is growing beyond our control and calls on us to have faith of the mustard seed, which in other places is said we can do small acts that have huge implications, to move mountains. This may mean making a place for others to nest, to find home and security in the knowledge that there is a place in the branches of God's kingdom for them. But in the final analysis, it is not us, but it is God who gets the credit. It is God's design and action that makes the kingdom universal and makes it grow, where it can be found not sometime in the future, but here and now and in our very own backyard. Jesus may be saying here that the kingdom will not be a mighty cedar or an invasive kudzu, but a nourishing, welcoming, hospitable vegetable of life. There are six great ends of the church that we hold to as our denomination, and they're all very, very captivating, I believe. One of the great ends of the church is this: the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. That is the image I have when I envision what Jesus is talking about. This is the type of kingdom I believe we are part of, a kingdom that grows but is not necessarily visible to the world around us in ways that they can identify and say, well, there it is. But it's a way that nourishes, it's a way that provides life. When we go out on a limb to show others what the kingdom looks like, when we tell others that this is how we experience God in our church and in our relationship with other birds, we do a wondrous thing, a small thing. We invite them, and we show them. And they soon find that they find life in God's kingdom too. You know, in an era where institutional church numbers are in decline, I believe we can either choose to want to be kudzu, trying to reassert ourselves over all others, or we can be a mustard seed, trusting that God's got this. That if we truly walk by faith and not by sight, we may not see the growth within God's kingdom in ways that the whole world understands, but we will see the birds in our lives, the people who matter to God, making homes in the branches. We can trust that God is growing the branches toward them, and the people are discovering their place in this kingdom. If we truly believe that God's image is in all people, then we will come to regard no one from a human point of view, since anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Everything old is gone. All the ways of sin and dominance are gone. And a new life has begun. A new life. A new life that doesn't extinguish other lives, but brings them into fellowship and to harmony with our lives. To extend that, those allusions from 2 Corinthians further to verse 19 that we did not read. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. God was meeting the birds in the air, and the branches of God's nourishing kingdoms was going to where they are. The world. Not just people, all creation. The kingdom is seen when humanity and nature work together, when we live fully into this good creation for the sake of the world that God so loves. Friends, I think it's this we find our joy in the kingdom. Then we go out on a limb in God's kingdom. And then we discover why we believe what we believe. Why we hope for what we hope. And just how fulfilling life in the kingdom is. Can be. You may feel today that your faith is as small as a mustard seed, and that's good. That is a good thing. From there it grows in you for others and to others. You have found the shelter. You have found the nurture. You have found the spiritual fellowship amidst these children of God and others. Share that today. Tell that good news. Your faith, a mustard seed, the kingdom growing in, through, and beyond you. Thanks be to God for the good news that we celebrate in Jesus Christ. Alleluia.